Probably today is the most exciting. If I had to choose one of the seven feasts of the Lord, and I had to label one of them as what I think is the most exciting, it would probably be this feast that's called the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head of, ha the Shana year, head of the year, and or New Year's Day. So in Judaism, or in the biblical calendar, in God's calendar, the Feast of Trumpets begins the head of the year, or the new year. And so what we have learned in Leviticus chapter 23 thus far is we have covered now the first four feasts of the Lord. And we have found out the first feast, of course, is Passover. Christ was crucified at Passover. We found out then the second feast was unleavened bread. Christ, of course, was buried at this feast of unleavened bread. And then we see where the third feast laid out in Leviticus chapter 23 is the Feast of First Fruits. And of course, this is whenever Christ arose, which is what we're celebrating today. The Romans named it Easter when they took over the Christian faith. And then we see the fourth faith is called, the fourth feast is called Pentecost or Shavuot. And of course, this is when the Spirit of Christ was poured out. And you know, we make allusion to that as the Bible does. It actually calls it several things, but we major on the day the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit was poured out. But in all actuality, Christ said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I don't go away, I can't come unto you. It's actually the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God. There's just one Spirit. And so it is the day that we see the Christian church of being started. So what we have learned so far is that these seven feasts have exactly told us and pointed to when the Messiah would be crucified, buried, rise again, and then start the church or pour out his Spirit. And he fulfilled these feasts that were prophesied 1,500 years before he was ever in the earth. So if you are not aware of the seven feasts of the Lord, then you're not aware of God's time clock. So what we're looking at are his appointment calendar. So now all of these four feasts that I've just mentioned, they occur in the springtime. And this is, in Israel, there are two rainy seasons, and this is the season of the former rain. So this is called the season of the former rain. Hold on to that, and you'll see why in just a moment. So this leaves us with three feasts that, should God go on to meet his calendar that he has so far, then the last three feasts of the Lord that we're about to get to, they will take place in the fall at harvest time. And the fall season is the second rainy season in Israel at harvest time, and it is called the season of the latter rain. So remember, when you read your Bible, it's not written in Chicago. It's written as if you were living in Israel. It's written to God's people from his throne room there in Jerusalem. Of course, this leads us now to the final three feasts of the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Day of Atonement, and then, of course, Tabernacles. Today we are going to cover the Feast of Trumpets. So we've now learned that the first four feasts came at the springtime, the time of the former rain, and the last three feasts that we're getting ready now to embark upon, they fall at the time of the latter rain. So in Leviticus 23, we're going to look at the Feast of Trumpets here. Speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my appointments. Verse 24 and 25, we're jumping ahead now, covering the Feast of Trumpets. Speaking to the children of Israel, and say, in the seventh month, and the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, or a rehearsal. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, it's interesting because this feast that has more names than any other of the feasts, has more facets, more going on in the prophetic realm than all the other ones put together, that you are not required to be in Jerusalem at the temple. Why not? Well, because it's just a time of the blowing of the trumpet, and then immediately, why? Because if it's the prophetic day of the awakening blast, you couldn't get to the temple anyway. You're going to be caught up in the heavens. So we see the other three feasts where you are required to come to temple in Jerusalem. So then we go on and we see in Numbers 29 and 1, and in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of the blowing of trumpets unto you. Now, if you're not familiar with God's calendar, go to our website, pull up calendars, print it out. But what we recognize is Remember that this Feast of Trumpets is called Rosh Hashanah, head of the year. And therefore, the earth was created in this month. But if you'll remember in Exodus chapter 12, God changed from what we call a civil calendar, in other words, the way that he created and recorded time, to a religious calendar. And he made the first month the seventh month, and the seventh month the first month. So in Exodus chapter 12, he said, "This day shall be the first day of the first month of the year to you." And he makes the month of Nisan the first month on the religious calendar, because that is when Passover begins, and that's when deliverance takes place. And it was representation of new birth, new beginnings. But on the civil calendar, as far as reckoning of time, taxes, so on, we still have Tishra, or the first month, is seen as the head of the year, so to speak. So here when it says in Numbers 29, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a day of blowing of the trumpets, it actually is, this is a little confusing, you have to understand God's calendar, it actually is referring to Tishra, which is the first month. Because remember, the seventh month's become the first month now, and the first month, the seventh month. So this is talking about the Feast of Trumpets. And I know that'll be perfectly clear to you. We've got so much to cover. Now, remember that we just spoke about these first four festivals occurred at the time of the former rain, and that these final three feasts occur at the time of the latter rain. Now, there is no other manuscript in any religion that even holds a candle to the Bible once you get to know it. No other book that can even come close. First off, the prophecies in this book that Jesus couldn't have chosen where he was born, and I can go on and on and on. And then to think when he ties his calendar to the stars and the earth and the rotation, whoever wrote this book had to have set the solar system in order before the book was ever written and understand it, or the universe for that matter. But in Hosea chapter 6 in the Old Testament, here's a prophecy of the appearance of the Messiah, or of Jesus as we know him. "Come and return to the Lord, for he is torn and he will heal us. He is smitten and he will bind us up. And after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will rise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain into the earth." So what we're seeing here is way hundreds of years before Christ, we have this prophecy. And notice, after 2 days he will revive us. Remember what Jesus said, "And the third day I shall be glorified." And then those of you that have been with us for the 7,000 years, as 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 years, you realize we've been here 6 days. And you realize that Christ has been gone 2 days or 2,000 years when you take God's formula, 1,000 years is one day. So it's a prophecy on many levels, because after 2,000 years he will raise us up and we will live in his sight. But we also see now how the Messiah, it's already explained to us that his comings would be two times. And of course, obviously, we now see where these align with his appointments, which we are learning he will fulfill and has fulfilled. In Judaism, you'll have Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David, and they, aligning with this parallel of passage, they are seen as the two comings of the Messiah and the two offices, different offices that he'll hold. We understand the first time he came as Messiah ben Joseph, which was the suffering Messiah. He will come the second time as Messiah ben David, where he will set upon the throne of David forever and ever. Now, let's jump to Colossians in the New Testament, and let's see if these feasts have anything to do with us. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink in respect of a holy day, a feast day, or a new moon, or of the Sabbath day. For these are shadows of things to come." And I apologize, I forgot to put verse 17 there. So we are understanding then that this information that is new to you, and those of you that are listening, it may seem a little confusing, but hang in there, because you've got to understand this to have a clue about how the Bible, what it's really saying. But what may be new to you is the information that has been lost when Rome took over the church, gentilized it. Today we're having Easter eggs, celebrating the God of Ishtar instead of celebrating first fruits. So everything's been changed. We have a Good Friday and act like Christ was crucified on Friday and in the ground 3 days, and there's no way that'll work. We realize he was crucified on a Thursday. So as you grow to know more about the Bible, the more you understand that, wow, we really are living in a Christian faith that's been changed. Now, we're not saved by knowledge, but we're here to teach the Bible. All right. So The first thing I want to deal with is because this is a blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of Blowing of the Trumpets. We're on the Feast of Trumpets in this series. Today I have going to lay forth about 24 different facets of this jewel, and then we will break them down in the subsequent lessons. So first off, we need to understand what was a shofar. Well, back then, their walkie-talkies wouldn't reach as far as ours do today. Actually, think about it. The way they had to communicate, smoke signals, well, you can't hear that very far. So the blowing of trumpets. But the blowing of a trumpet was different than the blowing of a shofar. So in the temple, you have silver trumps, and then you had shofars. And depending on what we are trying to establish in our communication, depending on which one we blew. So the first thing you need to recognize so you can get all the nuances of the Feast of Trumpets is you need to understand whenever we speak biblically of the blowing of a shofar, and this shall be a day of the blowing of the trumpet, what it's speaking of. The first place the shofar is blown is when they gave the law at Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 and 19, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning." Isn't that amazing how that third day keeps showing up? He's going to reveal himself to us on the third day, even in the Old Testament. "That there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeded loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." Now, without getting too deep into this, you are very familiar as a Christian with what we call the last trump. Well, the first thing you should ask yourself, if there is a last trump, then when was the first trump? Well, I'm giving that to you right here. So God's first trump is sounded to assemble the people so the third day he can come down in all their sight and speak to them. Is that kind of a picture of what we're waiting on after 2,000 years? So what you're plugging into is the Old Testament is simply snapshots of what has been, but it's 3D chess because God is so intelligent, the Creator, that He left out billions of snapshots. These are all true pictures, but He only chose the snapshots that He knew that would fit throughout the rest of time into eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away. The Bible will remain forever. This is why you flood your mind with it. And what you will learn as a student of the Word is, as you grow in God's Word, you go back to see the future. If I want to know about end time events, I don't watch the news. I go back to the future. I pull out the last 10 kings of Israel, and I can study the Antichrist and the final battles. Anyway, I won't get into all that. So it's all hidden there. And as I know the Word of God, then a billion years from now, I'll know here's what's going on now. Because these snapshots, He who is in control of all things will still fit time then. It'll never pass away. I hope that makes sense. I hope I didn't go too deep there. Second place the shofar was sounded was to announce a time of victory. So what I'm wanting you to catch, and I'll give you the end from the beginning, is if God is going to complete the seven feasts as He has completed the first four feasts, then the Feast of Trumpets, as seen in Judaism, it is called the Day of the Awakening Blast. You and I know it as the resurrection of the dead, or the catching away of the church, or the rapture. So be thinking about, thematically, all the things that you would see take place at the rapture of the church. And then as you look at the reasons in the Bible for the shofar to be blown, I think you're going to see how they all will fit into this last trump, and it'll all make sense. They're all collimated into this one feast. So first place, He comes down after 2 days. He speaks to them. The shofar calls them to one spot. The second place that the shofar is blown is at the time of victory at Jericho, Joshua 6 and 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. Why did they blow with the trumpets? Because Satan's kingdom came down. The thing that had the bride, by the way, it's in Judaism, she married Joshua. Rahab did. And so what we really see when Yeshua Jesus, when He's passing back through Jericho, says, I must need to go to Samaria because He's going to do the same thing. Once again, it's a snapshot. He's going to go see the harlot at the well in Jericho. He says, I must go through Samaria. Same thing old, same thing new. He's going to rescue her that's in captivity. And this is what we see happen at Jericho. The story is about, there were many unbelievers and heathens, but Rahab got a hold of the scarlet thread, which represents the blood of Christ in the Old Testament, so to speak. And therefore, she is set free because God pulls down a whole city to free her. Does that make sense? So it's a time of victory. The third place we see prophesied is that Messiah shall save Israel at the sound of a shofar. In Zechariah chapter 9, verses 14 and 16. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall... Who will blow it? And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as a flock of his people. For there shall be at the stones of the crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Now I'm way ahead of myself, but if you're taking notes, see where it says, and save them in that day. In that day is another, I'm going to give you, if I can make it to that place today, I'm going to give you 16 major themes, 16 different names that I could speak to someone that's familiar with this feast, and we would be able to communicate about those 16 different names. One of the names for the Feast of Trumpets is in that day. It is a portal, as I've mentioned to you before in the Old Testament, for the day of the Lord, which begins, the 7 years begin, the beginning of the 7,000 year begins at the last trump. And it is called in that day, the day of the Lord. The fourth thing we're going to look at, the shofar will be blown for the ingathering of Israel in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day. So once again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but as you understand the terminologies for the feast, you'll see how they overlap and solidify the thought process that I'm trying to express to you today. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trump shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And the fifth place, you blow the shofar to prepare for battle. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. The children of Israel went down with him from the mount and before them. Sixth place we see a shofar blown. It's blown in Leviticus 25 and 9 at the feast of to start the Jubilee. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month and the Day of Atonement. It's blown on the Day of Atonement. Now the Day of Atonement is if the Lord goes on to fulfill his feast is the day the church comes back. So why would we blow this? And so what's Jubilee? All slaves are set free. We're no longer slaves when we come back. We're people that are going to reign and rule. So then, number seven, to hear the watchman in Ezekiel 33, verses 3 through 6. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning if the sword comes. Now, he that heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, and he that hears the warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword comes and blows not the trumpet. Now, I could take this. The best thing I can express to you is listen to our last lesson, which was on Teshuvah, and it is on repentance, because it is a time to prepare to hear the trumpet so you can hear the watchman and be ready. All right. Another reason to remember the substitute. Now, and Abraham, now this is kind of neat. In Judaism, and when I say Judaism, you need to understand we're all Jews if we're believers. We are grafted in. So I'm speaking to the true Christians and obviously to the followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the most valued chapter in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is, and should be to us as well, but to our forefathers, the people that understand this Bible, is called the Akedah. It's Genesis chapter 22. And the reason that that Genesis chapter 22 is seen as the most valued chapter in the Bible is because Abraham did that that's unthinkable, that later God would do, a snapshot once again. And what is it that Abraham did? He offered his son. I doubt any of us would do that. But not only did he offer his son, he rose early in the morning and he ran to the commandment. Now, we can get into the psychology of that, and that's somewhat divided. Some say because of such great faith. Others say because if he thought about it, he was afraid he may not have. We'll get off that. Here's the point I was trying to get to. So, in Genesis 22 and 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. I wonder why they're called horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, in our founding of faith in Judaism, how many horns does a ram have? Glad you asked. Two. The one on the left is the first horn, the first trump. And the one on the right is the right trump, is the last trump. And so what we see is that even the Old Testament, and I've expressed to you before, if you have a doctrine that's not in the Old Testament, your doctrine's wrong. It's that simple. Your doctrine's wrong. If it's not in the Old Testament, you're believing a lie. Because the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. So if you cannot find types and shadows of it, you have a misunderstanding. So what we see is that resurrection is an Old Testament dogma and doctrine. That's why one of the names for Feast of Trumpets is the Day of the Awakening Blast. But what we see is the first trump was seen as the resurrected in heaven ram, because God is a God of resurrection. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by the way, when God says that, He's not saying that to remind you of the people. He's saying to let you know they're with Him now. He's the God of the living. And so what we see is the left horn is seen as being the first trump, because this is the ram of resurrection. This is He that took place of... Did you catch what I just said? He took Isaac's place. Exactly what Christ did for you and I. The Lamb that took away the sin of the world is our Lamb of resurrection. And so we're waiting for the right horn to be blown, which is the right trump. Numbers chapter 10, verse number 10. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices, over your peace offerings, that you may be for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So if you don't understand the sacrifices and offerings, go to our website and look under the five foundations of faith, because this stuff that I'm touting and teaching, it's not to be weird and not to make you Jewish. It's so you can be a good Christian to understand the true faith of Christianity. In Psalms 81, verse 3, to remember the feast days, blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast. So every Rosh Kodesh, every head of each month, every beginning of the month, of course, it's tied to God's calendar, which is lunar, the solar, and they would blow a shofar to announce the beginning of the new month. Okay, then in Isaiah 58 and 1, it's a call to repentance. So as you're looking at all of these reasons I'm giving you, they all tie in when you think about last trump is trump of resurrection, rapture. We're calling victory. We're calling to those to have made repentance. In Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up the voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgressions and Jacob their sins. Joel 2 and 1. We're also to blow it to remember the day of the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in the holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, it is nigh at hand. So it is going to be blown to usher in the day of the Lord. Now the Feast of Trumpets is an amazing day, because it's going to have many, many different titles that are going to just blow us away as we begin. If you can, as you'll study those and learn those, it'll really help your eschatology. All right, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, and this is a reason for the blowing of the trumpet. So with this, we're in the New Testament now. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we have the blowing of a shofar. And by the way, remember we're reading King James Version, or I am here, and the transliteration is trump rather than shofar, and we've expressed already a shofar is a ram's horn. Then in Revelation chapter 4, which I believe represents the catching away of the church, in Revelation 4 and 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up, and I will show you the things hereafter. So once again, John, the door was open. Oh, by the way, that's another name for the Feast of Trumpets, the opening of the gates. The righteous nation may enter in. Guess what Day of Atonement's called? The closing of the gates. And so as you begin to understand the Yamin Noraim, the days of awe, the 10 days between Tishra 1 and Tishra 10, and I know this is immense in the things you may be hearing, but just trust me, if you'll hang in here and just keep going to this website, or go to other websites, once you get this down, Jesus will get bigger in your eyes than you ever have. Your faith will grow. Praise God. Then in Revelations 8 and 2, judgments that begin on the day of the Lord. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them was given seven trumpets. So we're looking at the purpose of these trumpets. Another name for the Feast of Trumpets is the Day of Judgment. So every one of these things is going to be tied to this Feast of Trumpets. 1 Kings, we also see the trumpet blown for the coronation of kings. We're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those of you that don't understand the coronation service, when we're in heaven during the seven-year wedding party, so to speak, remember the first thing we do is we consummate the marriage. We are betrothed now. We come into the fullness of joy with our king. But then it is a coronation service in the heavens and then later in the earth. 1 Kings 1, 34 and 39. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel and blow the trumpet. So you blow the trumpet at the coronation of a king. Another name for the Feast of Trumpets is the coronation. Psalms 89 and 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of the shofar. Because that's why we blow the shofar. We're commanded to know the sound of it during the season of Teshuvah. First 29 days, the 30th day, it's not blown. And that away, that's the 12th month. That away, on the first day of the first month, you are straining and you're listening because you're waiting to hear the awakening blast. Psalms 98 and 6. With the trump and the sound of the coronet, make a joyful noise before the Lord our King. Psalms 47 and 5. God has gone up with the shout and with the sound of a shofar. Leviticus 25, 9 through 10. We're going back to the Leviticus. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the Day of Atonement. And I've already mentioned that one before. So what we're looking at here is I've already seen in Exodus 19, start about verse 10. You can read it all, and you see where this first trump was blown from heaven on the first feast of Pentecost. And we've already covered that. And so that's whenever God told him after 2 days, the third day he came down the side of all the people. And he went before his coming down was the sound of a trumpet. And then, of course, we see the last trump. We will find it now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the New Testament, verses 15 through 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to ever be with him and meet the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. And then what's interesting, and I threw this in here, it's a little off subject from the blowing of a shofar, but it's very relevant about the Feast of Trumpets. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1, you need to read that chapter again with your knowledge of the feasts. Because when you read that chapter again, you're going to realize, he says, but of the times and the seasons, of the appointments, brethren, you don't have any need that I write unto you. Now he's going to talk to him about the coming of the Lord. Why would I have to tell you? You know exactly when it's going to be. We don't know the year, but we're going through all these seasons at the last trump. When is that? Feast of Trumpets. So my opinion, and I'd bet the farm on it, is the Lord's coming on the Feast of Trumpets some year. What year, I don't know. Could it be this year? For the first time in my life, I would say possibly. Next year, highly likely, very possible. Next year, more likely every year. I've been doing this 32 years, and I've never made that statement. Y'all know that. Some of you have been with me over 20 years. We are at the door. I believe things can wrap up. The Lord do such a quick work. Now, if this is the year we're going home, it's starting now. I mentioned to you, and I shouldn't put this on my teaching tape. I mentioned to you, and I know y'all think I'm crazy, and that's fine. I know I am. That whenever Putin marched into that portion of Ukraine here a few weeks or month ago, I said, history will go down, and it will tell you this is the beginning of World War III. I said, it will not stop here, nor is this World War III going to start in the immediate future, but this will be the beginning of the domino effect that starts Gog and Magog, that does all sorts of things. And so with that, all I want to express is, along with the heavenly signs and what is going on throughout the earth with all the stuff that I don't have time to mention it, that we are at the door. Everything could change in a matter of time. My personal opinion is the year the Lord comes, that everything will start right now, and it will just progressively be road signs from now until the Feast of Trumpets, between Passover and Trumpets, and you'll realize, wow. And don't listen to any preacher or me that says, oh yeah, he's coming this year, because that's spiritual arrogance. You're as much a part of the body as any preacher. You'll know it just like he does. But my opinion that I just expressed. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 4:15. I've already read that, so next slide. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall all be changed. So I'm sticking once again with the places where the blowing of the shofar has to do with anything. Now, I'm going to skip the shofar Haggadol for right now. I don't want to confuse you. All right. Now, there are, according to Jewish history, there are 10 purposes for the sounding of the shofar. I've shown you all these things, but there are 10 purposes. Number one, because it marks the first month and the day of creation of the world and man. Number two, to warn of the time of repentance. Number three, to remind us of the giving of the law at Sinai. Number four, to warn us of the words of the prophets. Number five, the destruction of the temple. Number six, the binding of Isaac and the ram that was provided as a substitute. Number seven, to cause us to tremble. Number eight, to recall the day of judgment. Number nine, to renew our faith in the future ingathering. And number 10, to look forward to the day of the resurrection of the righteous dead. Now, this is by people that have not accepted Yeshua as Messiah. And you can see how whenever Shaul or Paul in the New Testament writes, it goes right along with what they've believed for thousands of years. I think I'll be able to get through this before we have to stop. I want to give you 16, and there are several more. I'm going to give you 16 of the major titles for this Feast of Trumpets. And I've tried to put them in chronological order. They do not appear in any certain order, so I can put them where I want. But these are the 16 major names for the Feast of Trumpets. I've tried to put them in what I see as chronological order so we can kind of thematically walk through when this last trump sounds. Now, the thing that's exciting about this Feast of Trumpets, and I've said it before, is when I was a child growing up, you know, you went to the theater and you didn't get to choose what you wanted to see, because whatever was playing, there was just one screen, and that's what you went in to see. And then we progressed from there to two screens, and now what do we got, 24? Well, what happens is to truly understand the book of Daniel, to truly understand the book of Revelations, and some of the other prophetic books, then this feast will really begin to tie things together. Because understanding this feast is what helps us understand the theme that they already understood, and God's not changing his theme in the middle of the book. So, one of the first names, now once again, I put these in this order, so I'm not trying to say the first name or the second name. There is no first name or second name. I'm just giving you the 16 names. So it's called, the Feast of Trumpets is referred to as the first day of creation. So if you want to know when Adam and Eve were created and the earth was created, get out a biblical calendar or go to our website, print one off. My wife did a great job on it, by the way. And it's Tishrei the first, or the first month, the first day. Another name for this Feast of Trumpets is called the Day of Concealment. And then another day is called, another name for the Feast of Trumpets is called the Day and the Hour that No Man Knows. And then another name is called the Hidden Feast. Now, the reason that these three names are similar, Day of Concealment, Day and Hour that No Man Knows, the Hidden Feast, this is the only feast that today we have satellites and atomic clocks and all that. It's the only feast that back then that they did not know the exact day and hour it would start. Therefore, a lot of people, when Jesus says, they ask him of his second coming, says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Very possibly, he is referring to the name of the Feast of Trumpets, the day and the hour that no man knows. And the reason they didn't know this is because every other feast occurs further out into the month, and therefore once the shofar sounded and the new month began, they could calculate how many days till the 14th for Passover when they had to be at the temple, or for the 21 days till Tabernacles at the temple. But this feast was an hour and a day, the day of concealment. It's also seen in Judaism folklore, fact, I don't know, as a day that was revealed from Satan, or the Hasatan, just as the Messiah, had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So let me go on. So it's also called the Hidden Feast. Now, the next thing, because we are looking to this Feast of Trumpets, and if God continues to fulfill his feasts as he fulfilled the first four, then if this is thematic of the day that someday the dead shall rise and he shall catch us away in the rapture of the church, then this, the next name I'm giving you, it's called the opening of the gates. Remember, John couldn't go in till Revelations 4 when the trump sounded and he saw the door open in heaven. 12 gates in the city of Jerusalem. So you can't go in until the gates are open. And there's so much to say about that. I don't have time right now. It's also called a day of remembrance. And you'll remember in the book of Malachi, and this is something we do during the month of Teshuvah, the month of repentance, which is the 12th month of the biblical calendar, to prepare to meet our groom. Then it's also called the day of judgment. Why? You can see how when that shofar blows, there are going to be so many things happen instantaneously. And when you read prophetically, then you're not reading something in chronological order. You've got to understand it's showing a picture of some things that are happening here, some things that are happening here, some things that are happening here. It's like stepping into a theater, and it depends on whether you've been naughty or nice, whether you've been found weighed in the balance, and whether you've been found to come forth as pure gold. Depends on where you find yourself as to which theater you're going to be viewed in. All right. So it's also called the Day of Judgment, because only those that have been weighed in the balance and judged and found righteous will be taken away. It's also called the Day of the Awakening Blast. Now, these names that I'm sharing with you are not names that the Christian church in America gave it 100 years ago or 200 years ago. These are names that go back to the original faith that we are trying to come up with. Anyone with new revelation, run from them. There is no new revelation. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. We are trying to step into spiritual giftings that we can understand the original revelation. Amen. All right. So what we see is this. Another name besides the Day of the Awakening Blast is the Day of the Resurrection of the Dead. Another name for this feast is called the Last Trump. Another name for this feast is called the Wedding of Messiah. And let me give you another name for this feast is the Coronation of Messiah. Another name for this feast is called the Time of Jacob's Trouble, which makes perfect sense for that seven-year period that begins. The Day of the Lord begins at the Feast of Trumpets. This is when that final thousand-year span of time begins. It's after 6 days of man being here, which is the 6,000 years when we study the genealogy from Adam to today. A day of the Lord is 1,000 years. You're familiar with what we call the millennium. Why does Revelations cover 1,000 years? Because it covers the seventh day of the Lord, the Shabbat, the rest time, 1,000 years long. And then what we see is after the time of Jacob's trouble, called birth pangs of Messiah, because this is exactly what the time of Jacob's trouble is, as the earth is upheaving and tidal waves and terrible things going on because the earth itself is groaning. This mortal is groaning to put on immortality. The rocks cried out. The ground split when his blood hit it. Remember, he created everything. And even though we may not view... And so what we see is that this birth pangs is because the whole world and earth, the people are trying to give birth to the Messiah and birth for the second coming. And birth is a painful process, and then the labor pains come closer and closer together, which is a New Testament thought process. And then it's called, as I've mentioned before, the Day of the Lord, and in that day. I think I've got about 3 minutes. Let's go just a little further. I know I'm giving you a tremendous, tremendous, if you've not been with us through this teaching, amount of information. And so once again, just listen to the podcast, stop and take notes, and then we will slow down in the next lesson. I don't know how many lessons will be in this, but to me, most people, this is a really exciting thing to learn, because then it's like, in my opinion, God and Christ are the hub. But as far as for knowledge of His Word, to me, this is the feast that is the hub from which the rest of the Bible comes out from. Because when I understand this feast, I can understand thematically what's really going on, where it all collimates and comes together. Okay, so I'm just going to real quickly share a couple of scriptures while I've got a couple of minutes left. Remember, one of the names for the feast is In That Day, which stands for the Day of the Lord. Jeremiah 30 and 7. Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. So who's Jacob? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So this is when God comes back and He saves His people. When? The time of Jacob's trouble. When is that? Starts at the blowing of the last shofar. So that's why I'm saying, once you can identify these names and you make your list, you'll find the Old Testament begin. You know, people that do not enjoy the Old Testament because they don't understand it. Historically, why would anyone enjoy it other than reading it once or twice? But when you have spiritual insight or understand how it's put together, it becomes a very exciting book. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Remember, it's a day of judgment. That's why He takes us out of here. He's not going to beat up His bride. He didn't save us, sanctify us, and have us purify ourselves, so we're going to go through His wrath. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasten greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry bitterly. It is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. And you can read the rest of that. I'm just going to give you a few more scriptures and we'll close. Jeremiah 30, verse 4 through 7. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Now, in my opinion, and you've got to remember that I've been through a lot of different stages in Christianity. I didn't become a solid Christian. I didn't become someone that went to church till I was almost 30 years of age. But I've been at it pretty hard now for several years to learn this stuff. But just like some of you maybe that are listening, when I started, all I knew is God's love. And I knew Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. And that's all good. And that's true. And that's not belittling it. The point that I'm trying to maintain is that you cannot grow 30-some years in the Lord and still be on milk and expect to be healthy in faith. And I'm just simply leading up to this statement. We have been robbed when we've been called a New Testament church. And we rip out two-thirds of God's Word. I know in His foreknowledge He knew, but let me say it my way. I don't think God in His wildest imagination would think He would present a manuscript and somebody would stand up and take two-thirds of it in Rome, rip it out, say, you don't need this, take this. And when you take the one-third of the New Testament of the Bible that's left, truthfully, you'll know why you only hear five sermons in America's churches preached 20 different ways, because you can make it say anything you want and there's nowhere to go with it, because you've thrown away the schoolmaster. And I don't think God in His wildest imagination thought we would do that. And yet, in the hour we live in, anyone that teaches from the old schoolmaster is considered strange and legalistic. And any of you that know the lives of the people that go to this flock, or my wife and I, we are the furthest thing from being, the truth has set us free. But at least I understand in what I believe, and when I have questions, I have very logical answers, because God is logical, and I can base my faith line upon line, precept upon precept, all the way from Genesis to Revelations. And being a rascal like I am, I need faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if all I had was the confusion of, well, God is love, put your money in the plate, I couldn't do it on just that. Let's go on. Isaiah 13, 6 through 9. And I don't mean that to offend anyone. I'm just simply saying, if you're a beginning Christian, look, you're not saved by knowledge. But don't stay a beginning Christian. Keep moving forward in the knowledge of His Word. There's a famine in America. There's a famine in America for Word teaching. And it's the last reason people go to church, by the way. And the reason there's a famine in the land for word teaching is twofold. Number one, preachers quit preaching and teaching it. And number two, people quit wanting to hear it. Isaiah 13, verse 6 through 9. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. You can skip on down to verse 8. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, that they shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be in flames. So I think we'll stop right there. And I think you're going to find this particular feast very, very informative. And those of you that are listening by podcast, hang with us. God bless.